Let's get ready to grumble!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Rogue World Podcast. I'm your host, Daryl. Sitting across from me is Dan.
Hi.
We've just had to re-record because you made a paedophile joke.
One that I was the one saying, yeah, we can't do that one.
Yeah, but it's out of context now, so it doesn't matter.
It's out of context, which makes it worse. Actually, no, it's probably better that we did cut that. Hi. Graham's not here again to stop us doing things like that.
No, wait. You've got to have a long enough pause because we don't want that to be associated with each other.
Okay. So, pause. There we go. Right. Graham's not here again today because he's still banned because Daryl is very strong in his support of Jonathan Coachman for this one. I'm on the fence about it.
Well,
I don't like Jonathan Coachman.
Yeah, but when you write the show description and then Graham sends you a message telling you to spell everything wrong, you're going to be on Jonathan Coachman's side.
It depends, because there's been a few times where he corrected me, where I did it on purpose to see if he noticed.
There was a stretch of times where I didn't do it on purpose. I just didn't read what I typed, and he then pointed out that I'd spelt things wrong. And I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, he was doing that for a while, and then I just started purposely doing it, and I think he caught... he knows now, because I told him about it, but I think he cottoned on that I was doing it on purpose sometimes.
Okay, let's move on, because
we're really professional.
We've got a packed show to do. Listeners, the end of last week, end of the midweek show, we teased something to do with the swear jar and how you guys can get involved. So what happened is a few weeks ago, the Inside Oz podcast tweeted us, and I'm not sure exactly what he wanted you to rant on exactly, but
it's because we were talking about something with Dave Meltzer, and I had to censor myself, and I said if someone pays my swear jar fee, it was if they cancel their Wrestling Observer subscription and give us half the money that they've saved, that I would go full on and not care about swearing about Dave Meltzer next time he does something stupid.
Okay, and then so he tweeted us and said he'd prefer to donate some money to charity.
Yeah, because he doesn't have an Observer subscription. Because he's sensible.
To then hear your rant. And then that gave me the idea to... Well, originally the idea was, why don't you donate money to charity to hear us swear? which then I've rethought that, and then that's where we've come to this idea. So we're going to set up a Just Giving page. And it's going to be linked to Sheffield Children's Hospital.
Yep.
So, not that we are dodgy, but I don't want the listeners to think, oh, you're going to give us money, then we'll donate it. It doesn't come to us at all. It goes straight to the Sheffield Children's Hospital.
And if you're a UK citizen, click that gift aid box as well, because then they get an extra percentage on top of it as well.
Yeah. There's going to be two bits to this, because we had a bit of a discussion... We'll be open about it. We had a bit of a discussion about the swearing, because we donated Sheffield Children's Hospital, and we don't want to be plugging, oh, let's have a sponsored swear if we'll give money to charity kind of thing. So, because it stemmed from the swear jar, the discussion that me and you had before we went on the air is every £2.50 that is donated, the swear jar will be taped off for the following episode.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you donate £5 to us, the next two shows will be...
It'll be an effing sea of a show.
Well, it'll be uncensored. Now, what that means is, I realised I came into your flat today swearing because I was mad, right? And frustrated with certain things in my personal life, right? So that will just... Like, I've managed to filter myself when we're on the air, and I tend not to...
We have got quite good. It's me who slips up the most, I think.
Yeah, but like, there's times where I've caught myself and I've stopped. So I'm not saying that we're going to come on the air and just absolutely like bombard you with swear words, but...
I might.
But, you know, we'll be more lax, and nothing will go swear jar because you've donated that money.
Yeah.
So every £2.50, it will... go to the swear jar, and there'll be
But we'll make clear that that isn't the main thing we're raising money for here.
No.
No, that is just bonus content.
Yeah, okay. So, the actual thing that we're going to do is we're going to set a milestone, a target of £500. Yeah?
Yes.
Every £100 that we raise, we will release a bonus show. And that bonus show will also be an uncensored, just like an old show we used to do where we just didn't edit anything and not care in the world kind of thing.
And I think we should say as well, just because this does involve, like, it's an incentive type thing as well, these are shows that we're going to put the most effort into as well. We're going to really, like, make sure that they're a lot better researched. Like, we've done shows where we've done research and stuff before, but we'll really put the effort in to make these shows worthwhile.
Yeah, and because we're going to make them worthwhile, like, when we do the show, it won't be like the second we hit the target, if that makes sense. So we hit that first £100, give us a couple of weeks, and we'll put a lot, we'll do it right. We don't want to just jump in and say, oh, we've hit it, we'll do this half-hearted. Okay, so £100 milestone will be career mode Ric Flair WWF 92-93. The £200 milestone will be a format which we made up literally before we came on the air. But we made up because we wanted to do it as a career mode, but we didn't think it quite fit the career mode format. We're calling it Grumble Showcase, and it's similar to career mode, but it's for feuds. So Grumble Showcase, Matt Hardy versus Edge. So obviously that started really in the TLC days. But then it got really good when Edge...
It got juicy.
Yeah, when Edge and Lita sort of cheated on Matt, and Matt got fired, and he got booked by 1PW and didn't show up. Canceled.
In a cruel twist of fate.
Yeah, in a cruel twist of fate, which I said to Matt Hardy's face.
Yeah.
I said a cruel twist of fate to Matt Hardy's face.
Yeah, is there any transactional information to go along with that mention of 1PW?
I totally forgot the catchphrase I made up last week, mate. Let's just leave it. I made it up last week and I forgot it. £300. Career mode, Steve Austin in ECW. £400. Grumble Showcase, Raven and Tommy Dreamer in ECW. And then £500. Career mode, Macho King. And then once we've raised that £500, however long that takes us, we'll then reevaluate from there sort of what the next sort of step is.
We're also going to throw another bonus little thing in as well. So apart from these other bonus shows, the first person who donates a spectacular amount, which we're going to say is £50. If you donate £50... In one lump sum to the Just Giving page for Sheffield Children's Hospital, you get to name the show we do. You get to pick the topic that we go and research and we do a show on.
But it was not Chris Benoit career mode, because we know what you like. It's not... You can't tell us to do the second 1PW show. That is coming, and the Stephen Gauntley shows are in the works. They will be coming. Like, so be sensible. If you donate that £50 and then you tell us to do a show that you know we're not going to do, you've donated that £50 and we're going to say no. Like, if you want us to do like a full show on New Japan, we can do that. If you want us to do a full show on the history of the AWA, we'll do that. Like, it's not something that we'd usually do. We're not doing a show that's where we've got blanket bans on. So I think of one listener who will donate £50 and then say, do a show on the Leisure Centre Beast. Not going to happen. Not happening.
That's two mentions this week.
No. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. But one of them didn't get picked up on the mic, mate. So.
No, we don't think it did anyway. So it's the first person who donates £50 gets that offer. We might bring it back for a larger amount in the future.
Yeah.
But right now, the first person to put that £50 down in one lump sum and send us a screenshot of them doing it, DM it us and we'll pick you up, we'll do your show.
So we've set up our own Just Giving page with the link to the Sheffield Children's Hospital on it. That will be a pinned tweet and it'll already be up now.
Yep.
So if you go to our Twitter at Royal Grumble Pod, click that link. Like I said, even if you just donate like 50p, it's fine because, like, if a lot of you donate, like, 50p, 20p, obviously we want people to donate this up to this £500 milestone because it's for a good cause. I had a family member in Sheffield Children's Hospital, like, 10, maybe more than 10 years, oh, way more than, actually, probably, like, 20 years ago now. I've not had anybody else in there, like, from my family, so I'm not saying it's, like, this thing that's really close to me, but I drive past it several times in a week.
Yeah. And I'm happy to say the fact that my job involves the teaching hospitals.
Okay.
And I get to see a lot of the stuff that goes on with the children's hospital, and it's such a worthwhile cause because, like, it's a specialist hospital for children, and they do incredible work on, like, it's not the biggest hospital in the world, but the stuff they have there is amazing. It's some of the best facilities that they can give, and any money we can raise will only help that and improve, like, help improve things at that hospital, and it's really important that people go for that donate for that charity.
Yeah. So go to Twitter. It'll be the pinned tweet there. Not that we don't encourage you donating in other means, but that's the way we're tracking it. So yeah. If you already donate to Sheffield Children's Hospital, you don't want to donate to us, unfortunately, we're not going to, like, take a screenshot if you send us a screenshot and be like...
Yeah, like, it's one of those things.
It's got to be through this page. We don't get anything out of it. It's just it's an idea that we had from that Inside Oz guy.
Yeah.
Which, thanks for that sort of inspiration to do that. These five shows are the first five that...
I need to chat to him more as well, because I was thinking about how when he gets to a certain episode in episode 6 that I really love, I would love to discuss that with him.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Oz. Like, I genuinely love that
I've
show.
Never seen it.
Oh, man. You need to watch Oz.
I've
it's
seen...
so good.
No,
it's so good.
I've seen, like, clips, and so I'm aware of, like, some of the big spots in the series and stuff like that, but, I've never watched it. But yeah, so this is it's a big deal for us. I think like raising this £500, like I'm really hoping that we can do it. We're not setting a time frame on it.
Nope.
I'd like to do it within a year.
Yeah.
Like I'm not to
if
give,
we do it in 2 weeks, we'd be well happy.
Not to give the listeners like numbers or anything like that, but we're not like the biggest podcast in the world. I want to say that. So,
because no, marks are ruining it, right, Don Callis? That's why he's not doing Killing the Town anymore, because he said too many marks are doing wrestling podcasts and he's ruined the ad model for it.
Okay, right. Yeah. Well, we're not the biggest podcast in the world. So I think setting a year goal from now is a good target to raise his £500.
I think we'll say as well, if we do go over the £500, that's not the end. We'll come up with more goals.
Yeah,
and we'll continue
so
it.
Like... And also, I want to be quite open with this as well, because asking for money for stuff. I don't feel comfortable with it, because we did it with a poster, but there was a bit of for the wall chart, but there was a bit of, like, you know, the shipping got messed up on it, and I had to send people free ones out and all that stuff, and I want to make sure we deliver on things. So, to be totally open and honest, in the future, we very well may do a Patreon. And it may replace this after we've raised the £500. But this £500 is 100% going to get raised before we take any money for Patreon.
Yeah, it's a way of us giving the type of benefits you get if we had a Patreon.
Yeah.
But instead of us just taking the money, we're happy to... like, it doesn't cost us a ton to do this podcast. Like, no. It's only whenever some equipment breaks down and then I'm there, like, scratching at my credit cards. But I'm happy to do that because I use the equipment for other things too. It's not a big expense. The biggest expense is probably petrol money.
Yeah. More so for Graham, to be honest.
Yeah. It'd be nice to earn some money out of it, but that's not our goal. That was never our goal for this. It was more that we get to hang out and talk wrestling.
Yeah.
And it gives an excuse to do something kind of creative.
Yeah, but now we've got sort of like a loyal listenership.
Yeah.
I'd like to hope they'd support us in this, where they'd like donate a little bit of change. Like I said, if you've got the money to donate a bit more, we'd appreciate it. And like, if somebody doesn't do that £50, like, I'm very thankful for that. But if somebody donates 20p and that goes towards it, like, it all adds up to the total. It all raises money for Sheffield Children's Hospital, and I think that's a good thing.
And we were very, like, we had a big discussion about what charity we were picking. And ultimately, we settled on Sheffield Children's Hospital because it's something that's important to us. And they're not a huge charity. Literally, every penny that gets earned by that charity, it's not like they have people in the streets, like, asking for money and stuff. Every penny goes to helping children in, like, helping children who need it. It's, like, one of the best charities we could give to, really.
Yeah. So, quickly, I'll just go through the shows again. So, if we raise £100... you will get Career Mode, Ric Flair, WWF 92, 93.
Yep.
If we raise two, then after that, so if we raise another 100 to £200, Grumble Showcase, Matt Hardy versus Edge. If we raise £300, Career Mode, Steve Austin, ECW. £400, Grumble Showcase, Raven and Dreamer feud from ECW. And then £500, Career Mode, Macho King.
The last thing we should mention this is we're going to give people a free taste of the new showcase mode, the new Grumble showcase.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah, so we're going to do Omega versus Okada feud, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to look at the matches, look at the feud, see how it was built, all that kind of thing. Look at like the star ratings, maybe how that's been affected.
Yeah.
So we'd like to talk about Dave Meltzer.
Donate $250 before next week. You might get it.
Something I haven't discussed, I'm going to put you on the spot. Next week, do you want to open the swear jar and each of us match whatever money's in that swear jar and that gets donated? I'm willing to do it. I don't know how much is in there. I'm personally, and if you guys don't want to do it, that's Graham's not here to say he does or not. I'm willing to open that on the air next week. And then I'm willing to match whatever's in that jar.
I don't have that sort of money right now.
Do you know how much is in there, though?
No.
Okay. If you don't, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Right. I'm willing to do that to give it a bit of a boost. Next week, we'll open it and I'll donate whatever's in there. I'll match it.
Sounds like a good thing. It's very nice of you. See, when I said on Tuesday's show that you were the secret, like, you were the really nice guy who pretends to be really mean. You like the Bianca Del Rio of the show.
I don't know who Bianca Del Rio is. Alberto's sister.
No, winner of season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race. When you came in, the film that Becky was watching and that I've already seen that I'd watched without her is her second film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a wrestling drag queen? Because that'd be your ultimate wrestler.
So, there's... This was a genuine thing where I only just realised there's a wrestler in the middle, from Nottingham called Visage, who's kind of like a gay character, but kind of like drag queen style. And it only just clicked with me that one of the judges on RuPaul's Drag Race is Michelle Visage.
Okay.
And it only just clicked that's where the name might have come from.
So...
And also...
Is that your favourite wrestler then?
No, like, he's decent, but...
Is that the person?
No.
Oh, but he does one.
I haven't seen him. No.
Okay.
But you I don't say the name.
Yeah, but does everyone know? Yeah, but I don't...
Oh, no. It's a weird subject, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether... Yeah. Yeah, I know why. So, yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so just to the listeners, because they don't know what's just happened there. I knew that there was a wrestler that sort of plays a kind... I don't want to say if it's drag, in case he's not drag.
I'm not sure whether he's trans... Whether yeah. She's transgender.
Yeah.
I don't know where that
online is. Yeah, the wrestler might be transgender. So I wrote that wrestler's name down. I wrote their male name down, what they used to go by.
You don't want a dead name somewhere.
Yeah. I just showed it to you. Showed it to Dan. But yeah, so that's what happened there.
So I've started watching season 4. Because I did say that I'd let people know whether I caught up on Best of Super Juniors. I did not. I watched all of season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race and then realised what time it was when I finished it. So I haven't seen any of Best of Super Juniors.
If somebody donates, and I mean this seriously, if somebody donates £1,000 straight up, I will watch a full season of Drag Race and we will do a Drag Race podcast. Right? There's got to be £1,000 straight up.
£1,000?
Yeah, because I don't want to do it. But if they do that, then I'll have to do it.
I'm guessing you don't want to do it because you have some of the same sensibilities as me with costume and stuff like that, and I think that'll grip you in with them, like, their designs and stuff. And in season 4, there actually was a wrestling challenge, and they got Joey Ryan in to help teach them how to wrestle. I didn't know that.
Right. I feel like you did know it.
No, seriously,
but
I didn't.
You've gone through the whole series. You started from the beginning and gone through all the series just to get to the rest
no,
of
so
it.
No, so I'd forgotten about season four. I'd seen season one, two, and three before. And then on my recent rewatch, I started at season five. So season four was this, like, just the one that's in the middle that I haven't seen yet. So we started watching it earlier on today. The only thing I knew about is Sharon Needles wins it, and there's a bit where someone calls saying you get your drag from Party City, which is like a Halloween clothes shop, because there's loads of like spooky drag stuff. But I quite like Sharon Needles, so I wanted to watch that season. But the second episode had a wrestling challenge.
Talking of wrestling challenges, Dominion was
Sunday.
Sunday. So did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah, what'd you think? What'd you think?
I enjoyed nearly everything on this show.
Okay.
One of the things instantly was Dominion in past years has been like 5 hours or so. And it's not normally a bad 5 hours. It's not like WrestleMania where it's a slog to get through sometimes. Normally the pace, but this one was probably the best pace Dominion they've done in a long time. And it helped with the fact with what happened towards the end of the show, which was annoying. But the show started off with the second New Japan match of Mr. John Moxley taking on Shota Umino.
Yeah, so short match.
Yeah, it was pretty much a squash match.
Yeah, but I quite like this because if they didn't have a viable contender for him, I think it's better putting him in this squash match, because if they put him against somebody that's sort of like, kind of like a name, but you know they're not going to win, then it's sort of like a match where you're just waiting for John Moxley to win.
Shota Umino, by the way, is the young lion who is in the New Japan Cup, who seems to be the next big star. And also, his dad is Red Shoes Umino, the referee.
Okay.
But he's definitely a guy that they see massive things for in the future. So the main interesting thing about this match, apart from... there's two things that came out of it. So after the squash match, John Moxley gets on the microphone and declares that he wants in on the G1.
Yes,
so we might get John Moxley in the G1 tournament. See,
well, you say we might. We are, aren't we?
Well, the thing is with New Japan, there's some people who have declared they want in the G1 who might not be in, because I was explaining to some before, the post-match interviews in New Japan, even though New Japan posts them up, press are actually at those things. So guys will use that to further something they want to further. And it's more like a football post-match interview than it is a wrestling one.
But didn't he do this in the ring?
Yeah, this one's different because he did it in the ring. So he might be in the G1. But there is history of guys like declaring for the G1, not getting in, and using that as a storyline, saying like I think Harry Smith did it one year, like in a post-match at Currican. But yeah, he declared that he wanted in G1. The other weird thing was he went back in the ring, picked up Shota Umino and took him out of the ring. And he did a promo backstage talking further about how he wanted to be in G1 while holding up Shota Umino. That's now the most watched promo on the New Japan YouTube page.
Yeah, because it's something so out of the ordinary from like New Japan.
But it's the idea of John Moxley's character that he is like a violent like psychopath. But at the same time, like it's not out of like hatred for anyone. He's just a violent, like, crazy person.
Yeah.
And it's that thing where it's like, it's almost him showing respect for someone for taking a beating for him. And some people saying, oh, I hope this means like he's starting up a faction or something. I don't know if that'll be the case, because I think with Shota Umino, they'll do the traditional, he'll go off on an excursion and come back as a megastar type guy.
I'd quite like it if, and I don't know if this is a very New Japan thing to do, I'd quite like it if, like, John Moxley mentored him a bit. And sort of like took him under his wing, and maybe in John Moxley's matches, you know, they have the Young Lions. Yeah, like the side of the ring. Like, yeah. I'd quite like it if he was always on John Moxley's corner. Yeah. And
it's kind of a thing of him saying, like, forget about all that respect, doing like 500 Hindu squat stuff. You need a killer instinct to get in this business type of thing.
Yeah, and do you know, like, when they do the tag matches where it's clearly someone's in there to take a pin?
Yeah.
I'd quite like it if he's always John Moxley's partner.
Oh, that'll work, yeah.
So then, like, you always associate... And then if he does go out on excursion and then comes back, it's like...
They've only really got John Moxley for a few more months, so it'd be a nice thing to do with him for a few months.
Why have they only got him for a few months?
Because he's exclusive to AEW once they have TV.
Yeah, so I was just thinking
they've only really got him until probably Destruction in September.
Yeah, because I was thinking that it might be nice if they sent him out on excursion and then when he came back, maybe he feuded with Moxley.
Who knows, by that time, New Japan might have finally ditched Ring of Honor and they've partnered with AEW.
Yeah. Anyway, we've probably talked about that match for longer than the match was actually on.
Yeah.
So next match was Shingo Takagi.
Takagi.
Yeah, that's it. against Kojima.
Yeah, so after the Best of Super Juniors final, Shingo, it was his first loss in New Japan, and he said that maybe the advantage edge that Ospreay had was the fact that he's been wrestling heavyweights recently, so I want to wrestle a heavyweight at Dominion. So Kojima was the guy they give him, the guy with the strongest arms in New Japan. This was a fun little match, and
lots of lariats.
Lots of lariats. Well, he's got the bomber lariat, and then Kojima's Mr. Lariat himself, so...
Yeah.
Back to the old CM Punk prank phone call to Gabe Sapolsky. I'm really happy you put me in against Kojima. Lariat, lariat. I love that. So yeah, this was a really good match, and it furthers the thing though that Shingo has never been a junior. He's a heavyweight, and he should be wrestling heavyweight. And he self-declared for the G1 in the post-match interviews, I believe.
Oh, so not in the ring?
Not in the ring. In the post-match interview, he said he wanted in on the G1 to prove himself as a heavyweight. And it makes sense as well to have him and Ospreay as two guys who are juniors in New Japan's setup, but wrestling heavyweights and having them compete well. But who knows how that will work out.
Next match was Liger and Yoshihashi against Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr.
Yoshihashi pins Zack Sabre Jr.
It was a roll-up.
Yoshihashi.
Isn't it to set up
New Japan's Titus O'Neil? And I shouldn't make fun of that because he got seriously hurt when he tripped and fell and banged his head on the stairs. But New Japan's Titus O'Neil pins Zack Sabre Jr.
But it is to set up a
title match. It's to set up
match.
A title match, yeah. I'm not that annoyed
about
it.
That's not going to be a Royal Quest, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Zack Sabre Jr.'s got a title defense coming up against Sanada, I believe.
But what, a Royal Quest?
No, at Ungovernable, the show that RevPro's doing in Manchester in a few weeks. It probably set up one for during like one of the New Japan tours coming up or something. Like it might be at the G1 final or something like that, or even on the American show. I hope it's not Royal Quest because that's a bit of a disappointing match. Because like I make fun of Yoshihashi, I'm not a huge fan of him. I don't like he's there. He does his job, but yeah, it was interesting that they're giving him this little spotlight where he pins Zack Sabre Jr. As well, because like you look at this way, I really love the fact that they're teasing that because Liger wants to wrestle Suzuki again. Suzuki seems to want to wrestle him, and they're teasing that we're going to get that singles match at some point this year. I'd be well up for that match because they've had some interesting stuff in the past, and including an actual shoot fight, which lasted a minute and a half.
Who won?
Suzuki. Liger tried to do his rolling kick on him in an MMA fight. Suzuki jumped on top of him and pounded him until he couldn't take it anymore and then choked him out. It was embarrassing for Liger, really. It was just like, well, I'm here. I'm going to try and do one of my spots. And Suzuki went, I'm not playing. I don't play much anyway, but I'm definitely not playing today, and just battered the hell out of him.
Next match. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, and Ryusuke Taguchi defeated Jay White, Chase Owens, and Taiji Ishimori.
So Juice Robinson's cut his dreads off.
Weren't they cut off for the Moxley match? I'm sure he had short hair.
He might have done. I can't remember exactly. He did it this past week.
But yeah, he was being super serious, weren't he?
Well, yeah, because he said CJ Parker is completely dead and this is the last part of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird to see him with short hair now. I'm used to the dreadlocks and his ridiculous ring gear, his flamboyance and all that. I'm all about flamboyance. We talked about Drag Race for like 5 minutes on the show already. Yeah, this was a good match. I like Jay White's beard look. I'm into that. That's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it makes him look a bit more devilish and it's decent. It makes him look less like a young lad fighting old blokes. It ages him a bit in a good way.
They make him like more of a daddy.
I won't go that far.
No?
Nah, he's not like... Who is the daddy of New Japan? Like, who's a proper daddy? I was going to say Nakanishi, but he's an angry uncle like Nagata.
What about Kojima? Is he a daddy?
Nakajima?
Kojima.
Kojima. Nah, he falls into angry uncles, even though he's not that angry, I think. There's no proper, like, daddy.
Minoru Suzuki's mental cousin, isn't it? You know everyone's got a mental cousin?
No, Minoru Suzuki's your angry granddad.
Okay.
Who still gets the belt whenever you do it wrong. They don't really have any proper daddies. It's weird.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway.
Do you know I only had this daddy discussion because the only daddy on this podcast isn't here. So I just thought I'd...
No, he's a dad.
What?
The only dad of the podcast.
Yeah, but he makes me call him daddy.
Anyway.
Title match, Never Open Weight Championship. Ishii defeated Taichi.
Taichi's getting over now. It's weird. Like, he's still hated, but he's also loved at the same time. He's in that weird Naito zone, what Naito was in a few years ago. It's strange.
There were a lot of stalling in this. Like,
yeah, because that's Taichi's thing.
Okay.
Like, he stalls and he gets out of fights and stuff. He cheats and all that stuff.
And then Ishii were like laying on the floor for a bit, weren't he?
Yeah.
Just chilling.
But Ishii is amazing, though, isn't he? Ishii's just great. It's just the bit where he started headbutting Taichi continuously. But unlike, they were safe headbutts. But he was just there, just like, I don't care, I'm going to pulverize you in one way or the other. I'm a stone pitbull. That's legitimately that's the best way to describe him.
Yeah, and he won. Won the belt.
Yeah, Ishii is once again a never open weight champion. It was a good match. It was Taichi, I can give or take, but I really enjoyed this match. And Ishii winning is really great. I love Ishii.
They then announced that Dominion in 2020 will be a 2-day event.
Yes.
Why?
I think because they've done it with Wrestle Kingdom and Dominion's kind of their SummerSlam. They're following suit with that. And it allows them to have a bigger thing. But because Dominion's the only pay-per-view now that isn't a 2-day thing. Like, the only massive show that isn't 2 days now, I think. Apart from, like, the finals, but they're part of massive tournaments. It makes sense. Is this also where we got the surprise appearance?
No, that's...
Okay, have you got that?
I've got everything down, mate. Tamatonga and Tangaloa retained their IWGP Tag Team Championships against Evil and Sanada.
So one of the really great things that New Japan do, like with the commentary, is they talk about past records a lot, especially at events, and they talked about how at Dominion, the title has changed hands more often than not, and it's an unlucky event for Evil and Sanada normally because they lost the titles last year at this event, and it might work the other way because Guerrillas of Destiny have also had a bad record. Well, Tama Tonga's had a bad record at Dominion in the past, and they talked about that record a lot to make it more believable for a title change to happen. Guerrillas of Destiny are just a fantastic tag team. Evil and Sanada, for two so strikingly different style of wrestlers, with two styles that shouldn't really mesh as a tag team, work so well together. Because they're two singles wrestlers, but they work so well as a tag team together.
Yeah.
This match, I think these two teams are really always really great against each other, and I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was really, really well done. The Guerrillas of Destiny, because the match just seemed to be building and building to Evil and Sanada winning back the tag titles until it's stolen at last second. And I really enjoyed that storytelling in this match. I thought they did such a great job. And I really love the new Guerrillas of Destiny's music. I know they've had it for like 6 months, 7 months now, but their new theme music's awesome.
I've seen these have better matches.
Oh, they've had better matches, but I really enjoyed this one. I liked the way the story built in this one compared to other matches.
Okay. Then Shibata comes out.
Oh, man.
And I've got a bone to pick with you, mate.
Oh, man. So, let me just end. Like, whenever Shibata's music hits, I just get all those feelings back. Like, it's genuine, I'm trying to think of the proper word for it. Longing. Like, every time I hear Shibata's music, because he's genuinely one of my favourite wrestlers, I love the guy. There's that. I still have that awful thing where it's like half of me thinks he shouldn't ever come back. But then that other half of me is selfish. And it's just like, I want to see Shibata back. I want to see that music hit on the show and him come out and say, I'm back. like the promo we did at G1 where he said, I'm alive, that is all. I want him to come out and cut a promo saying, I'm back, that is all. And then he's just back in the mix and he's kicking people's head in again. I really want to see that. I love Shibata so much.
Yeah, but he could come back and have that 2017 Kurt Angle run, couldn't he?
Yeah, but I just want to see him back.
Where he's held together by sellotape.
He could. Like, my biggest hope is that he, like, a doctor, like, he goes to multiple doctors like Daniel Bryan did and they say, right, we've done all the checks, your brain is fine. You won't get this re-injury unless you have, like, awful circumstances. It was a freak accident, whatever. And he's able to come back healthy and have great Shibata matches again. Because I miss Shibata so much. But a part of me knows that's not realistic. And I just want to see him, like, be happy and stuff. I really want Shibata. Like, my biggest hope after seeing this segment was, I said to Becky straight away, I was like, my biggest hope is that he gets the doctor's clearance and everything. And then for Tag League, he says it's time for us to take over again and we get the tag team back of those two.
Well, hang on, because we've not even said what's happened.
I didn't name him on purpose.
So Shibata came out,
yeah.
And then what did he do?
He pointed for a long, long time.
He had that Ronda Rousey pointing pose, didn't he, on point?
Yeah, because his mate went on cue.
Were he having a poo like Mick Foley were at Carra Road?
He's on the loo.
Which I don't think we didn't talk about.
No, because we found out just after we recorded.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Graham sent it as, I think.
There was a big show at Norwich City? They're called Norwich City, aren't they? Yeah, Norwich City Football Club, Carra Road, put on by Paige's family. So it's Ricky Knight, Soraya Knight?
Yeah.
Is Soraya a working
name? Sweet Soraya. Yeah, Sweet Soraya.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Soraya is Paige's real name.
Yeah, that's what I was getting confused. Yeah. I knew that. Yeah, anyway. And then Mick Foley was a commissioner or someone on the show, and they played his music for a couple of minutes, and he didn't come out, and then they announced to everyone that he was on the toilet.
I'm guessing they didn't have a 20p machine on the toilet, so he was taking advantage of free bogs.
It was well attended, that show.
4,000 people attended that show, and it's barely talked about because WWE is not a big online promotion or anything. They're very local and they build up their own little scene, which is great.
Yeah, but they've done it and it seemed to draw quite well, and people enjoyed it. That's good.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, back to New Japan. So Shibata came out.
He pointed. Any
points?
It kind of felt a bit like when Jack Swagger was trying to get the briefcase down to me.
Oh, why are you doing this to me?
Just because I've talked about how much I love Shibata, so I need to bring it back and needle you a bit on it.
Oh, thanks, mate. So what happens next?
Buddy Kenner comes out.
Right, I've got a bone to pick with you. So way back when we were saying that he's leaving WWE, I said to you, he'll go New Japan. And you said, there's all this loyalty and all this stuff for Japanese promotions, which I'm not denying that, but I was right.
You were right.
Yeah.
So apparently what
just
happened
there... I'm going to interrupt you, and it's rude to interrupt, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just like I was right when I said the IWGP title would change hands in New York. Yeah.
My predictions have died this
who's
year.
Who's the real New Japan expert? Is it me or you?
Considering, whenever we used to have prediction contests, I would win a lot of the time, even the WWE ones. This year, I've been terrible with predictions. I've just lost my...
Who have you got in the death pool?
Who do I have in death pool? Oh, Superstar Billy Graham.
Okay.
Yeah, but
see,
anyway...
You might be really bad at predictions.
One might pay off, though, sadly.
Yeah.
I can't
wait to play this clip at the end of the quiz.
The story that was kind of going round about Kenta, and I've not seen anyone who's like, a decent source say it. So, but the speculation is Noah approached Kenta and said, well, we want you back. What money do you want? Kenta gave them a figure that was higher than what he previously got paid in Noah, because of course it is. He's been in WWE for years and he's got a bit more of a worldwide personality now. So apparently what Noah did, it's the new owners, by the way, not his like old mates like Marufuji and stuff who did this. Apparently Noah offered him his old wage minus the extra that he'd asked for. So they offered him lower than what he used to get paid there. So that's why he's gone to New Japan, because they were willing to meet his fee and not take the mick.
I read something on Twitter and it was really sad. I thought it was really sad anyway, the way it was worded. They said, There's no loyalty from Kenta to this Noah, because it's not the Noah he left. It's not even green anymore.
Which is true. Apart from one person seemed a bit annoyed. Marafuji. Because of the day. Sunday was the 10th anniversary of Noah's first show after Misawa died. The big tribute show they did. It was the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
And his thing was saying, why this day? Because that day was a big day for Noah. Yeah, but like,
New
the
Japan,
first show back
New Japan
after
had
that.
Dominion, right.
Yeah, I said this, I went, I can understand because it was Dominion.
It was Dominion.
And there's not really any big shows to announce it until
and
then.
He wanted to, if that story's true, he wanted to go back to Noah, and he gave them his fee, and instead of them just being like, look, we can't afford that.
I've seen like more, like, better sources say it was just they didn't meet on money, but then I saw that story get knocked about by one or two people. So I don't know how accurate that is. Well, it might just be speculation.
Let's just say they didn't meet on money and there wasn't this insult thing. So he went somewhere else and they booked him to go on that. It's not like he phoned New Japan and went, do you want to really mug my mate Marafuji off if we do it on day of the anniversary show? Like, he wouldn't have that pull. If he went into New Japan, he wouldn't be able to say, I want to debut on this show. Would he?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he could say that to him, but
it's just that thing where it's like there wasn't a more suitable show before the G1 to announce him on.
Yeah.
Especially considering they were announcing, like, he got announced he is in the G1.
Yeah.
And that was the announcement. But it was cool to see him and Shibata together because the last time Kenta was in New Japan, it was when they started doing the Noah crossover stuff, and he came in with Shibata, and they were Team Takeover.
Oh, so was Shibata a Noah guy?
No, he was a freelancer.
Okay.
But it was during the time when he was kind of like the hated guy in New Japan because he left during the down years and everyone thought he was going to be one of the next big stars. And instead, when it got tough, he left.
Okay. And so Kent has been in New Japan before then?
Yeah. That's why he's wearing the Takeover shirt. That's their old. It's not a dig at NXT or anything, which I saw a few people say, like, oh, he's wearing a Takeover shirt. No, that's what his tag team with Shibata was called. That's that shirt. That's fine.
I just didn't even twig that it could have even been an NXT reference. I just assumed it was something to do with New Japan. I didn't even.
Yeah, it's literally like the group. I think. I can't remember whether Sakuraba was part of that group as well, because Sakuraba and Shibata teamed for a while as well.
Okay, so happy for Kenta?
Yeah, I'm happy to see Kenta in. I'm hoping we get Kenta. Like, okay. I'm guessing we'll get more towards Kenta than Hideo Itami. But
who were you excited to see him wrestle?
Just about everyone. Like, if he comes back and he's on the form he was before he left, imagine the matches he can have with guys like Okada, and even like him and Jon Moxley, I think, would be great, and Suzuki and people like that. Like,
let's assume he's going to be at Royal Quest. Who do you want him to wrestle?
Will Ospreay.
Do you think that match will happen? Because do you think Ospreay might be tied up? We'll get on to Ospreay in a minute.
I want to see him versus Will Ospreay.
Okay.
That'd be... like, Will Ospreay or... let me think. Just quickly running through the New Japan roster. I'd like to see him as Zack Sabre Jr. I think they had a match in Noah back in the day, but I'd like to see that now. That'd be great. That'd be a proper, like, drawing main event style match, that.
I'd quite like to see him against Kota Ibushi. I don't know why. Yeah. I just think
we'll talk about Kota Ibushi in a second.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking of matches.
Oh, beautiful Kota. What are you
like?
Doing?
Like for Kenta, and I don't know why. I just from what I don't want to pretend like I know loads about Kenta, but I've seen a few matches pre WWE, and I don't know. I think him and Kota Ibushi.
Oh yeah, stylistically would, match up very well. Yeah.
Okay, so...
watch his matches with Marafuji from Noah. They were just... every single one of them was so good.
So we mentioned Will Ospreay briefly just then. Will Ospreay defeated Dragon Lee to become the IWGP Junior Heavyweight
Another
Champion.
Prediction I got wrong, didn't I?
So...
this match was fantastic.
Let me just... we'll talk about the match, but just this is why I want to say this before. Right, so Kenta, surely he's going to be a heavyweight if he's going in the G1.
Yeah.
If Ospreay... I know Ospreay might want to be a heavyweight, but if New Japan put the junior heavyweight title on him...
See, this was why I was saying I don't think he's going to win the title because I think he's going to be in the G1. In the post-match, he did the post-match interview backstage where he said, I dare New Japan to put me in the G1 as junior heavyweight champion.
So we did it backstage. What I've learned today is anything that happens in the backstage promos don't mean it's part of the storyline.
I mean, New Japan will give them bullet points sometimes to talk about. Most of the time, they're allowed to say what they want. That's why you got all those crazy Bullet Club promos back in the day where they just said whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
So they get freedom, and the actual press are there to report on that stuff. So it's more like a football interview. But yeah, there might be a storyline there, but it could just be Will Ospreay literally saying, I dare you to put me in the G1 as junior champion.
Okay.
And he'd fit in the G1. He's proven that he can match up against heavyweights, like, all over the world. I think the thing I take away from this match, especially, like, I haven't seen the Shingo match yet, and I've heard all the stuff about it, but I have seen him have matches with a varied amount of people this past year, heavyweight and junior. I saw him have a match of the year contender with Phoenix. I saw him have a match of the year contender with Dan Maloney. I saw him have a match of the year contender with Kyle Fletcher. He's so... genuinely, Will Ospreay is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. I don't think anyone can argue that. And he's showing a bit of maturity as well, because he posted on social media saying, I know I've used social media to say some very stupid things in the past, but now it's time for me to own up to my mistakes and grow up. Which is quite a mature thing for him to say. And if he can hold up to that, then that's a good thing. Because that's my only standoff with him, is that he can be a moron. He can be an absolute idiot.
Yeah, for me, like, that's the first step. If you admit it, fine. You've admitted you've been an idiot. Now just act mature. Like, just show us that you've changed.
That's the only thing that knocks out, because it's the difference now between, like, back in the day with, like, Stone Cold and The Rock. Stone Cold and The Rock weren't complaining about things on Twitter because it didn't exist. But they weren't going on, like, whatever the equivalent was, like, doing random interviews saying, like, oh, yeah, that guy's a coward for signing with that other company and stuff like that. Even though I kind of defended that comment on Tuesday, but it proves the point, kind of. That's the only thing that let him down, because he's so, so good. His psychology is so good now. And he's calmed down a bit on the acrobatics, but he still uses it. And everything he does just looks so great. And it helps build towards what he's doing in the matches now.
Dragon Lee did a mental suicide dive.
Yeah, Dragon Lee is in that Naito, Ibushi, Hiromu Takahashi... Well, him and Hiromu Takahashi have, like, almost nearly killed each other now. Dragon Lee is one of those absolute crazy people. He's in that category.
Do you want to move on?
So the other thing I predicted about this match was that we'd see Hiromu Takahashi, and we didn't, sadly. Will Ospreay won the title from Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee put the belt around his waist at the end of it as a nod, like, saying, yeah, you were the better man. It was just such a fantastic match. It was really, really good stuff. It really feels like at the moment, like, again, I haven't watched Best of Super Juniors, but I can see all the comments and everything. It seems like we're getting closer now to that point where juniors are starting to be seen at the same level. Like, more than ever now, it seems like junior heavyweights are being presented at a level that's on par with the heavyweights.
Tetsuya Naito defeated Kota Ibushi to win the IWGP Intercontinental Championship again.
Oh, Ibushi. So I always go back, when they had their match at the G1 the other year, they opened the G1 up, the B block I believe they were in, when Ibushi first came back, and I sat there with my other half and said to her, this will be good, because I know Naito takes it easy in some matches, but he's a legit nutcase. If he's in there with the right person, he'll go full-blown too. He'll do silly stuff. And that match proved he would do it. And every time he gets in with Ibushi, it's that same fear that what is one going to do to the other this time?
Listeners, if you like people dropping each other on their heads, this is the match for you.
The other side of it is there is no move in professional wrestling that Ibushi doesn't watch and go, how can I land awkwardly on my neck for that move? I mean... He managed to, like, do head drops to the crossroads. He managed to land on the top of his head and neck on the crossroads, which is like a face bump.
Yeah, I want to draw the attention to one particular move, which I saw this move before I saw the match, as it was gifted multiple times on Twitter. So, listen, you've probably already seen it. If not, seek it out. Tetsuya Naito gives a German suplex to Ibushi on the apron. And Ibushi's I don't know how his neck isn't broken. Like
the angle that it goes to is disgusting. Like his head pretty much folds into his chest, but like not forward. His head sideways.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. His neck was supposed to be made of rubber bands.
Yeah,
that's the only way he's not broken. Like the only injury he's got out of that match is a black eye, and that was from a headbutt from Naito. But getting dropped to his head, because the worst bit, so he gets back in the ring and he genuinely looks out of it and everything. Like you can hear a hush in the crowd. Like they're generally like, oh, is he actually okay? The next move he takes is a top rope reverse hurricanrana.
Of course it is.
Right on top of his head again. Like, doesn't try and go all the way over and flip onto his front. He takes it directly on top of his head and crunches himself again. And he took that move again later in the match. Just utter lunacy. Like, it doesn't... I don't know if you saw the comment Naito made in the build-up this match that I thought was particularly nasty. Naito talked about a lot in the build-up to the match how he genuinely doesn't like Ibushi. And the comment he made was, he goes, only one guy in this company liked that guy, and he's gone. just Naito being really brutal. And just... Yeah, Naito's amazing, though, as well. Like, Naito did some great stuff in this match. These two are just so good together.
This was match of the night for me.
Yeah, it was this or the junior match. Like, both of them were on par.
Yeah, I preferred this.
I think it was that genuine concern as well that Ibushi was dead at some point.
Yeah.
And somehow he kept getting up, and you're like, how are you still moving? Like, this is ridiculous. Your neck is made of rubber bands. But it's the thing as well, like, Naito is just such a well-rounded character as well. The fact that he talked about the importance of getting that title back, only to the moment he gets handed it to throw it away and then put his foot on Ibushi's head while raising his fist. Just everything about Naito is amazing.
I read somewhere online, and you might be able to talk better about this, that this show was in Osaka, and apparently... In Osaka, when Naito was a babyface,
it's where the turn started happening against him.
Yeah, so then fans used to boo him, and then when he turned heel, but he was sort of like a cool heel, he really heals it up in Osaka, basically.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, the crowd will chant for him and wear the merch, but they will boo him on purpose because of that thing. Yes, Osaka was the first town to turn against him when he was being the pushed babyface. He was pretty much like getting the Roman Reigns push, and the fans weren't happy with it. And Osaka was the first one to really turn against him, and they've kept it going. But so it's also the place. This is the weird thing. So Naito is such a huge star for New Japan. I can't remember if it's been 2 or 3 years now since he lost the title. He's not held the title in like nearly 3 years. I think it might. Is it 2 years or three?
Well, didn't Okada have it for two?
Yeah. So Okada is. Record breaking reign started by him beating Naito at Dominion in that venue, and that was like how many years ago now? Naito's been out of the actual main event, like the title main event, for that long now. He had the match at Wrestle Kingdom, and that's it. He's been for the Intercontinental title this whole time, and it's kind of crazy that he's such a huge star, but they've kept him away from the main event for that long.
Do you not think they need to put him in the main event?
Well, he was the favourite for the G1 this year again. But now it's like, well, he's the Intercontinental Champion. So does that make Ibushi the favourite for the G1 now? And it's that whole conversation. Or do they... With it being 2 days, it makes it less likely that they want the Intercontinental Champion and the IWGP Heavyweight Champion in the same match. Because they've got 2 nights to have matches for. But it's an interesting thing that throws a bit of doubt into everyone's pick for the G1. Who knows? Because they've made a lot of... like weird turns this year. Who knows where they're going with it?
Talking of weird turns, that Judas Effect is a bit of a weird turn, isn't it?
Let's talk about Winnipeg's third biggest King Diamond tribute at Chris Jericho.
So main event of Dominion was Okada successfully defending his IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Chris Jericho.
So
I've got here, not a good match. Has the novelty of Jericho in Japan worn off, is my question to you.
I've said this a few times. I've enjoyed his matches in New Japan, but I didn't think they were as great as people made out. I've always, like, we went back and watched 2008 WWE last year, and I said, I kind of get Jericho a bit more, but ultimately, I'm still not a huge fan of him. I think he's all right. I don't get why people love Jericho so much, especially now that he's doing this, the Painmaker.
I'll tell you why people love Jericho, and I've literally just thought of it. He's the 2000s Dolph Ziggler. He is, isn't he?
Oh.
Think of it like that.
He's here to show the world that he's the Painmaker and Winnipeg's third biggest King Diamond tribute act. Oh, like, this match made me feel good in a way because everything I say about Jericho felt true in this match. Because if he's such a good wrestler, how is he the first person to not get a good match out of Kazuchika Okada since his debut back in New Japan against Yoshihashi at Wrestle Kingdom 8 at 7 or whatever it was? This was...
Okada had a better match with Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah. This is the worst rated New Japan main event since 2014. Like, this was terrible. Like, it wasn't a terrible match. It was fine at best. It was just Jericho looks, and it was all Jericho as well. He looks sloppy. He taking too much time. Like, there's taking time because you're a heel, and then there's taking a bit too much time because you're a bit blown up because you're trying to work a long New Japan style main event that you obviously weren't ready for. Like, he's a legend and all that stuff, but... and it's going to continue as well because of the post-match angle. But do you not have a good match with Okada?
I like that he's bet on himself and he's not... Not that WWE would come calling for
him.
He
was annoyed as well because New Japan didn't play Fozzy on his entrance. They did the... This music has been changed due to copyright issues, even though they have the rights to that song. It's mainly because... Fozzy aren't that good, and people only like him because you're Chris Jericho.
And what I was saying was, like, I quite like that he's bet on himself in a way, and that he's not one of them guys that's waiting for WWE to phone him to. I think he was like that, and then when WWE didn't phone him, he got a bit insulted. I think that's pretty much. I think he said that on his podcast. He said not in as many words, but. So he's gone to New Japan, and I think at the start it was exciting, like, to see him against Omega and see him against Naito. This didn't work.
No, it was just...
And I don't know if it's because they're too different. Like, Jericho and Omega, they had that Canadian connection, that North American... I don't want to say it like this, but I'm going to say it. That white person in Japan...
Yeah,
like them two people fighting against each other, was interesting. Then Jericho, it's Naito. I don't know if it's because of Naito's attitude and Jericho's attitude in Japan, they sort of came together and it was good. But Jericho and Okada, but
this isn't the first bad match that Jericho's had in New Japan. His match with Evil was pretty crap.
Do you know what? I didn't even remember he had a match with Evil.
Yeah, that wasn't that good either. Like, this is not the first bad match Jericho's had in New Japan.
But that wasn't really a marquee match, in my opinion.
It was the main event of one of the shows. It wasn't Destruction. I can't remember which tour it was on.
But they're tours, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
It
was one of the big shows on the tour.
For me, I looked at that as something to do with the Naito feud, though, because it was LIJ.
Yeah.
That's what I looked at it as.
It was the build-up to him going for... It was a title defense before he got back to Naito.
Yeah. This didn't work. I don't want to be too negative on Jericho, but it probably was more Jericho's fault.
Well, considering the other guy in this match is widely talked about as probably the greatest pro wrestler of the modern era.
Yeah.
And hasn't had a bad match since his first match back in New Japan.
Yeah.
Even his matches with Bad Luck Fale were 3 stars and above. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, Jericho was just bad in this match. And you could see Okada was trying to do things. And the finish as well. I think that's what made it worse.
Jericho's trying to get over this spinning back elbow, which he calls the Judas effect.
Yeah.
Which I think is also the name of one of his songs.
Yeah. Oh, the song's just called Judas, I think.
Okay. So he does this Judas effect, but Okada counters it and rolls him up and wins by roll-up.
Yeah, he won by roll-up rather than the Rainmaker.
Which I don't think Jericho needs protecting.
No.
Like, to do something like that. I think Jericho could have easily eaten a Rainmaker. I mean, nobody even kicks out. Nobody even gets pinned by one Rainmaker anyway. So
no, it's multiple Rainmakers.
Yeah,
it's Rainmaker and holding onto the wrist and then picking them up and doing it again that does them. Yeah,
and the fact that they were promoting this as Painmaker versus Rainmaker,
and I hate that Painmaker thing. That's something Jericho came up with himself.
Well,
that.
It is, but I wouldn't hate it if he got beaten by the Rainmaker.
Yeah,
I think that I hated it as a heel hating, not as an X-Pac heat thing. Like, I was like, oh, what a bad guy.
The whole thing stunk to me of, you know, when you get the big indie name coming into your local indie.
Yeah.
Like, you get the big name coming into your local indie, and it's like, I'll lose, but only to a roll-up, and it's my match to work and type of thing. And it felt like that. But this isn't that. This is the second biggest show of New Japan's year, and you're against one of, if not the best, professional wrestler in the world right now, who hasn't had a bad match in years, and you somehow got a bad match out of him.
Yeah.
It just, was terrible.
He goes to the Juice Effect, he counts into a roll-up, and then Jericho gets beat, and then he's on Okada, beating him up.
Yeah.
Tanahashi was on commentary, and he came into the ring and chased Jericho off, and was then held back by Young Lions.
Yeah. And then the show ended with the crowd booing.
Yeah.
So there was a few fans who were there who were reporting the fact that a lot of Japanese fans started asking for refunds at the ending of the show because they were so disappointed in that final match, because that's not what they expect from New Japan. Like, even if the guy they want to win doesn't, you have an ending, whereas that felt too sports entertainment, if I want to go that far. And it was just, and Jericho just says, oh, it's called being a heel. No, you were crap. That's why they weren't booing because the heel won out at the end, because the heels won before. They were booing because they felt cheated out of a proper New Japan main event, because for some reason you were put in it.
Yeah, which is a shame, really, that they felt like that, because they had a good show up to that point.
I don't remember a New Japan show ever ending in boos. Like, this isn't like ECW on Sci-Fi where fans are chanting change the channel. The Japanese fans are normally very respectful. To have them boo at the end of the show because they felt cheated out of the finish of a show just feels a bit like, come on, guy. Like, it was such a good show up to this match as well. It's how we've genuinely never reviewed a New Japan show where we've come out of the main event saying, yeah, that was the worst match on card.
No.
Like, that, I don't think anyone's ever said that. That's,
yeah, but to be fair, we have been very spoiled these past few years.
Incredibly spoiled. But when there's been bad matches on cards, like, actually, the one time, it shows, actually, that this match apparently was worse than his match with Evil, which was pretty bad. And that wasn't Evil's fault either. Like, Evil was just trying to work Jericho's style. But part of it, if you're coming to New Japan and wrestling for the New Japan title in a New Japan ring, you should be willing to work a bit more of a New Japan style rather than saying, oh, but I'm getting heat. Go away, Jericho. Just go away. I'm fed up of it. This whole, like, I'm an old grizzled veteran and I'm going to get heat and stuff. We're past that a bit, aren't we? Like, we want to see great wrestlers having great matches. If you want to be a heel and get heat, there's ways of doing that without it just being you going, oh, but, you know, I'm Chris Jericho. Go, no.
Just to play devil's advocate a bit, I think that's the right phrase. What I'm going to do. I like Jericho being a heel in the sense that nobody wants to be a heel.
Because
if you look at the New Japan roster, you're going to come at me and say Naito's a heel. But he's not really a heel.
Jay White.
I'll give you Jay White. But I won't give you many others at Bullet Club. They're all very much,
I would this past year, because they've definitely turned around and it's not about being cool with them anymore. It's,
I mean, I look at Tama Tonga and think,
yeah, but he's inherently cool. There's a difference between just inherently cool and trying to be cool.
Okay.
Like, trying to be cool is Jericho. Jericho is like, as much as he's like, I'm playing the heel, he still thinks he's cool as out though. And I think that's what does me about him. I know that he's got that ego. And he thinks he's the best. He's the best, and he thinks he's cool as out. And he's not. Is that old uncle who's doing a reunion tour with his old band he had in high school? That's what he feels like. Jericho just sickens me nowadays.
Do you know that, like, Fozzy started off as a Ozzy Osbourne tribute act, didn't they?
I believe so.
Because that's where the Fozzy is, Ozzy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the entire band is another band who Chris Jericho just sings for.
Yeah. Do you think that in like 10, 15 years' time, there'll be Jericho fans that set up a Fozzy tribute band? I hope so. That'd be fun.
I hope I never encounter them.
No, I think that if that ever happens and we're still doing the podcast, we should go and review it. That'd be fun.
Can you remember when we went to that MMA show and that band did a cover of Arctic Monkeys and you were really annoyed?
And that's it for this week, listeners. Facebook.com/RoyalGrumble. Twitter.com/RoyalGrumblePod. Find the pinned tweet and please donate to Sheffield Children's Hospital. Just to clarify, by the way, they're not involved with this at all. Just in case we say something heinous, they're not involved with us at all. We just picked
our actions do not reflect on them. We're just trying to be nice.
Yeah. So twitter.com/RoyalGrumblePod. Please donate to the Just Giving, which is on the pinned tweet. Instagram is at Royal Grumble Pod. I'm doing bits on Instagram. Bear likes. I think that's what they say. That's what the kids say. Stories. All
bear
that.
Likes?
Yeah, or bear likes, mate.
I've never heard that. But then I'm older than my time suggests.
If someone's got bear likes, it's got a lot of likes. I think that's what bear means. Look it up. You're not
is it kind of like how bad means good, according to that Michael Jackson album?
We'll not get into Michael Jackson's antics. Is it, you cannot slander the dead. That's a catchphrase we've not said in a while. Instagram, Twitter, RoyalGrumble.co.uk. That's the last one.
Yes.
Say goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Daryl. Goodbye, Daryl.